Hi, everyone. It's Judy. Welcome back to the On Track podcast. We're happy you could join us again today. Today, we're trying to keep your content relevant since it's during the time when so many of us are working from home, if not all of us. So I brought in our guest, who is Zach Peterson. He is the owner of Northwest Engineering Solutions out of Oregon in the U.S. And he manages a remote team and has been doing that for some time, a remote engineering team. So he is going to tell you, give some tips and tricks about how to either manage a team remotely or how to for you to manage your own time if you're not used to working remotely. So lean in and enjoy. We'll see you on the other side.
Welcome to Altium's On Track podcast, where we talk to leaders about PCB design, tackling subjects ranging from schematic capture all the way to the manufacturing floor. I'm your host, Judy Warner. Please listen in every week and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and all your favorite podcast apps. And be sure to check out the show notes at altium.com/podcast, where you can find great resources and multiple ways to connect with us on social media.
Collaboration is critical to success. With us working remotely, it's more important than ever to convey design intent, review and comment, and iterate on mechanical, electrical, and software design features to get the perfect balance of user experience and form, all while improving manufacturing performance and yields. Working from anywhere and connecting with anyone has to be made easier. So at Altium, we're meeting the challenge head on. Right now, On Track podcast listeners have an exclusive, significant discount on Altium Designer with Altium 365 subscription. And to make this even easier, we're offering extended interest-free payment terms and a $400 bonus if you refer a collaborator so they get this deal too. So click the link below in the show notes to get your discount code now.
Well, hey, Zach, how you doing? Glad to see you and welcome to the On Track podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
So I came across this article that Altium published on our website that you had written about how to manage remote workers at this. And this is something you wrote apparently before COVID, but also something that is super relevant, obviously, right now. So I want to talk to you about that. But before I do, could you tell us a little bit about yourself, your professional background, and also a little bit about Northwest Engineering Solutions?
Sure. So I got into the electronics industry coming out of academia, working in optics, optoelectronics, and sensors in different capacities as a researcher really helped prepare me for what I now do in the electronic space. A lot of research and obviously working with companies like Altium, but also managing these projects that we have going on, taking a lead role and directing other designers or software engineers for the software side of what we do, and directing them to build new technology. We don't do a lot of those projects where you are just cranking out the same old power regulator over and over again. The stuff that we've done is kind of unique. We work with some industrial equipment companies doing custom HMI interfaces. We have something going on in the aerospace sector, which I can't talk about too much, but it's some unique RF stuff. So having the optics background and the electromagnetics background really very well prepares you to work in that area. And then on the software side, and actually the embedded side too, quite a bit of AI and NLP, so natural language processing, and bringing that into different web environments for some different applications. Again, it's kind of sensitive information, can't give out everything, but that's what we've done. So we've worked with a very large e-commerce company on a software project / embedded project, which is really interesting. And going into this type of role where You're doing product development, but it's really at the forefront. It's not something that's going to be commercialized in a month or 3 months or 6 months. And honestly, when you're doing this type of work where you have to really be at the cutting edge and do a lot of research to make sure that you are at the cutting edge, you don't always know if the thing you're working on is going to be the next iPhone, let's say. You don't know if it's going to turn out to be a million units. But it's a lot of fun. It's always a great puzzle to solve. And I'm very happy with the team that I get to work with on these different projects.
So you had shared with me previously that your team is 100% remote and working, you know, you're no brick and mortar. And so again, because we're all working from home these days, given the current conditions during the coronavirus, I thought it'd be in a special poignant time for you to talk about the things you shared in your article about how do you manage a team, because it's something you do every day. How do you manage a team? And I'm thinking about people who may have gone home and they're used to being in an office, right? And sort of that culture shift. And I just thought it'd be a good time to give design engineers some tips about working successfully, you know, offsite. So why don't we start with, you know, you'd cited in your article a figure that something like 73% of people will be working remote by 2028. Can you tell us about that statistic and what inspired you to write this article?
I thought it was a very interesting statistic, and it makes sense when you start to look at the business case for creating remote teams. First of all, where that statistic came from. That statistic came from a very large freelancing network. It's a worldwide network. If anyone's got enough data to be able to make that type of a prediction, it's that company. So I would give that statistic some credence. When you look at the business case for creating remote teams, it really makes sense, and I'll kind of give you my perspective on it. First of all, with hardware engineers and design engineers, I'm not limited to whoever is within the surrounding 20-mile radius from where I'm at. I can work with anybody. They can be here in the U.S., any state. We often hear the joke, oh, your designers are mostly in Florida. You guys must actually be called Southeast Engineering Solutions, not Northwest Engineering Solutions. So you get access to a broad range of talent. If you need to be price competitive, you can be, because you have less overhead. Obviously, with doing hardware design, you know, there are licenses, there are subscriptions to collaboration tools, and those are all important if you want to be successful. But you cut out, like you said, the brick and mortar, you cut out that office, so you don't have to pay for that. And it really helps you to be price competitive if you need to. And by having access to that broad talent base, you can be adaptable. You can pick up someone very quickly for a new project and bring them into your fold of remote workers and have them work on something new that you don't get every day. So you can expand your market a little bit. You can get into that type of design that you may never have done before. And if it's something that's lucrative or that's interesting, you think you can be successful at it, or the client just can't find anybody who's going to be able to do it for the right price, you may now have the ability to actually take that on, engage with a freelancer or somebody who's working remotely, have them come in and work on that project. And you never know, you might find someone great out of that whole experience, and you then want to chase down designs in a new area. So by having that broad access to talent, we actually can take on a number of different projects. We don't just do the same old power regulator, like I said. You know, we've got an interesting RF project going on right now. The industrial equipment that we work with, one of them's a major HMI manufacturer, and we do a lot of the test boards that they use to then test the actual things that they're manufacturing. So those projects are always really fun, and it lets us dip our toes into a lot of different areas. Another type of project that I never would have expected to get into is pressure tolerant electronics. So electronics that are going to be put onto a submarine. And once they go underwater, they're subjected to very high pressures. And its component selection in that type of application is critical, because otherwise your components are going to implode, not explode, they're going to implode, pull this thing out of the water, and all of a sudden nothing works. So it lets you get into these different areas that you probably never would have seen yourself getting into, or maybe even heard about, but you can chase down these really interesting projects and possibly lucrative projects. So that's really the business case. With the software side of what we do, you know, outsourcing has always been kind of a big thing. And especially in the software world, you know, there's always that joke that, you know, you outsource half your software team to Vietnam or India. And if it's the repetitive kind of tasks that honestly nobody wants to do in-house, you know, that's okay. You're giving someone else a job, and that's great. For the more advanced stuff, again, the person who is going to be the best at that type of task, whether it's hardware, whether it's software, anything embedded, they may not be living within a 10 or 20 mile radius of your office. So at that point, you have no choice. You have to look remotely to find that person who can really succeed in that project.
I imagine also, Zach, it gives you the opportunity to live where you want to live, right? And where you want to call home.
Yes, exactly. It definitely does. And that there's two sides to that coin, right? The people that work for you, they can live wherever they want. They can be sitting on a beach in Tahiti, and they got the margarita in one hand, and they got their hand on the mouse, their other hand on the mouse, and they're designing something great. If they have to satisfy, you know, a complex schedule around family commitments, anything like that, they have the freedom to do that. But that really being able to accommodate that really requires rethinking how you manage a team. And there's been a lot written about this in different contexts. And I think it's interesting to start to apply that to the electronics industry, and specifically to PCB design.
So let's talk more about maybe what is important to keep in mind when you're either managing a team remotely, or I'm really wondering how people are handling this. I've worked remotely for many years before working here at Altium, so it was a pretty easy transition for me. But I remember when I first did it, it was not easy. And so what would you say to folks that've had to transition, like things to keep in mind to be effective, and also people who may be now managing teams remote, you know, design team remote, what are some things to keep in mind?
Yeah, that's a great point. And I want to offer some suggestions, but the suggestions I'll offer may not be universally applicable. It depends the tasks involved. It depends on the project. It depends where everybody's located, because you have to think time zones now. So those are important things to consider when looking at any of these suggestions. So don't discount them just based on the fact that half your team is in Hawaii and you're in New York. But still, it's important to think about these different things. So I would say the number one thing that will help you be successful in everything you do with managing a remote team or working on a remote team is very clear expectations. Be very clear with what the project needs, when things are due, standard operating procedures about when there's a problem in area A, B, and C. The expectations need to be very, very clear. Just like with a successful design project, and I've fallen into this trap thinking that, you know, I fully understood a project, and then a week later, we come back with a barrage of 20 questions about the project because we didn't do the right requirements gathering at the very beginning. Make sure that expectations for the people that you're working with are very clear. Just like you need to make sure that the client's expectations of you are also very clear. So that's in my opinion, the most important point of working on any remote team. I don't care if it's electronics, software, whatever it may be. The next most important point is people who are really great at working remotely don't want to feel like they're being babysat. So accept that people may not be around immediately for to respond to whatever you have to send them on whatever collaboration tools you're using. People get up and make lunch at different times. People may have to go pick up their kids from school. You know, maybe they've got a doctor's appointment they got to go to, and that's fine. But if you set the expectations around deadlines very clearly, honestly, at some point, it doesn't matter if they get the thing done at 5 p.m. on Friday or if they get it done at, you know, 2 a.m. Sunday morning. As long as it's done before the deadline, at the end of the day, who cares? You know, if it's there when you need it, then great. If someone is going to, if someone's a night owl, they prefer to, you know, stay up till 1 and 2 a.m., and I've been guilty of this myself. If they prefer to do that, then that's fine. You know, if that's the way they work best, then you have to allow someone to do that. Especially with what some of the stuff that we do with research and composing technical content, you have to kind of allow people to go off into their hidey hole, into whatever environment is going to work best for them to be the most productive and put out the best work. For me, the hidey hole could be just on the couch listening to a podcast, or it's here in the office, or it's, you know, sitting on my porch. Sometimes I'll go to a coffee shop, and if that's what I have to do, then great. And if that's what someone else wants to do, hey, great. You know, as long as you're meeting those expectations, that's what's really important. So don't try and babysit people. That's a great way to drive away someone who may be new to working remotely, and it's a great way to drive away someone who may be used to working remotely, and they just switched into a new role working for you, and they're going to think, I can't take this manager that I have. They won't just let me be and do my thing and give them what they're asking for. I just feel like they're hounding me all the time. They're going to go work somewhere else. So talent, you need to appreciate your talent, but you also need to give your talent the tools they need to succeed on their own. They may not have immediate access to you, to another team member. You know, they may have to wait 15, 20 minutes, an hour to get a response on something. And that's just kind of the way it is. But if you think about that environment, it's not much different from working in an office. You know, not everybody is instantly accessible. I think you just have to feel comfortable with not being able to walk down the hall and bug somebody in their office if it's some kind of emergency. So it takes a little bit of a change in mindset. But I think engineers, being the intelligent, creative people that they are, they'll find ways to adapt to this new type of environment that they may have never worked in before, especially in a tumultuous time of COVID-19.
You know, something we've observed here is that I think our managers, or some managers, may have been concerned. I don't know, this is an assumption on my part. I think it's a widely held assumption, let me say, that maybe if we all work remote, we're not going to get as much done, you know, during our work hours or whatever, not going to. But I actually, from my own experience, find that I work more. It's harder for me to put the rails on the lines between work and personal life. What's been your experience with that, and do you have any advice in regards to sort of setting boundaries between your work life?
Yeah, and that's definitely a fair thing to bring up, because I've been guilty of this many times, especially you know, running your own operation. When it was just me, God, I would take on everything. I would never say no. And now I say no regularly because of what you just brought up. I have to sleep sometime. So when I was first getting started, I mean, there must have been a 6-month period where it was up until 2 or 3 a.m., get up at, you know, 8 a.m. maybe, more likely 7, and get up and do it again. And I'm sitting there in my sweats, chugging coffee all day just to stay awake. And It was bad because I had no social life at all. I have slightly more social life now, so I'm moving in the right direction. I'm kind of a workaholic, but I love what I do. So, you know, I guess at the end of the day, it's okay. But I definitely feel that pain of not knowing where the boundaries are. When you have a family, you have to know that it's okay to put down the computer, you know, close the laptop, and spend some time with your kids. You know, go out on date night with your significant other, whatever it may be. Family is really important, and maintaining those relationships can be difficult if you are maybe concerned about being seen as underproducing in a remote environment. And I think that's where it comes back to very solid expectations. You set those expectations for people, and you know, maybe they need to work a couple hours on the weekend, but people shouldn't have to feel like they need to just massively overproduce and overwork themselves. Sometimes it's totally understandable. Sometimes there are roadblocks in different projects, and within those projects, you hit a roadblock. Again, there need to be standard operating procedures for how people can work through those roadblocks. You know, is there some tool we can buy to help us through this? Do we need to then approach the client and make sure that they understand the problem and they're willing to work with us? So those are all important things to consider as a manager. You know, as a worker, you shouldn't feel like just because you put the computer down at 5 instead of 6:30, you're not meeting any kind of productivity requirements that were never stated clearly. So make sure that the expectations are well-defined. If you're a manager and if you're a worker, make sure you understand them.
Yeah, good point. I've been in the 2 o'clock in the morning club too. This was not good. I mean,
you know, it was
very productive, but I was tired all the time. And I work for a company on the East Coast. And I remember like up working in the middle of the night and my boss would come online 5 o'clock in the morning, Baltimore time. And I'd be up at 2. So he'd be waking up, like sending me messages. I'm like, hey, what's up? Yeah, I'll get that for you. And he's like, what are you doing? You know, so that's when I'm like, what am I doing? Right. And so, and I think for most of us, that's more of our bent. Not so much of like, ooh, take advantage, Slack, yeah, you know.
Yeah, definitely. You know, that was always the classic objection to people going remote was, well, if people are just working at their houses, what's going to stop them from watching TV all day? Well, yeah, they're not going to produce and meet those expectations, and right, so they're going to get in trouble and risk their jobs.
Exactly.
So I think this idea that people are just going to slack and watch TV all day is totally unfounded.
Yeah.
And look, if someone wants to have the TV on in the background and that's going to make them more productive, have at it.
Right, exactly. So let's talk about tools for a minute. So what tools do you find that really help you work well while you're working remote?
So like the bare bones is chat programs. Skype is great. I like Slack. Slack is nice. Well, you know, Slack and Skype, there's a lot of overlap. Skype is basically Slack plus video conferencing. It's nice because you can create groups that are oriented around a specific project or oriented around a specific working group. And that's really nice because now anyone in the group, everybody's shared communication. People can quickly message each other. So that's obviously a real great tool to have is Slack. With hardware design and, you know, electronics design, PCB design, there are often situations where you need to actually share part of a schematic, part of a layout. You need to share some sort of note about about the design, and it needs to be very clear. Skype and Slack are great because you can do these screenshot shares, and sometimes just sharing a screenshot is fine. Other times you need to go a little farther than that and have some sort of annotation on it without totally obscuring the entire layout. That's why I like Concord. Concord is great because you can put the layout or the schematic on the cloud in a secure workspace. Someone can say, hey, should we move, I'll just give you an example. Should we move this resistor over here next to R21 or whatever it is? And they can put that comment right there in the layout. And you can then scroll around in the layout and actually see what they're talking about, rather than having to send the design files and then also send the screenshot and then send another screenshot and then send a description of what you want. It's great for productivity. It's great for sharing that data real quickly. Concord is kind of unique among these other tools in that it's specifically adapted for PCB design. But for other types of tasks like project management, there's one that I really like called Redmine. It's an open source platform, and it's great for project management, both for software projects and hardware projects. With software projects, you can actually put it on the client's domain under a subdomain, and then people can log in and they can list out all their different tasks. They can issue feedback on tasks, assign tasks to different people. I believe there's a way you can make the interface more graphical, which I'd have to talk to my Serbian PM because he's a total Redmine expert. But I really like using Redmine after having gone through a number of different installations and iterations of it. But you could also use it for hardware. You know, you just upload those different descriptions and screenshots, whatever you need to upload. You can even upload the design files themselves onto that platform and pretty quickly share them. Another good tool is that we've actually used with a client is an FTP site. Having an FTP site that's secured and they can regulate access to it, then they can keep track of which designs are allocated to which project. Again, you can share whatever information you need, whether it's a document, screenshot, whatever it is, the actual design files themselves, and you can regulate who has access. So that's another useful tool. FTP, before actually working with this client, I don't think I'd ever used an FTP site, but it works great. So, you know, whatever they want to use, if they want to use an FTP site, then that's fine with us.
So for our listeners that aren't Ultium Designer users, Zach mentioned Concord Pro. Well, actually, Ultium Designer and Concord Pro can run either on-premise or they can operate in the cloud through Ultium 365. So just wanted to give a shout to those of you that are non-Ultium users. The last thing I wanted to ask you about, Zach, is while we're all working remote, and you know, there's usually disconnects that happen between our EMS providers or board fabricators. Do you have any advice as far as, you know, how to keep the things moving smoothly between design engineers and manufacturers at this time?
Yeah, and it's the same type of advice I would give to working with someone on a team, which is regular meetings and expectations. Maybe with a manufacturer, you don't need to follow up with them every week, but make sure that there are expectations about when you do follow up with them, and make sure they understand when they're going to follow up with you. I always say engage earlier with a manufacturer rather than later. You may have a manufacturer you love working with, but if they don't have the capability to get down to that four mil track width that you need, you're not going to be able to go with them. So make sure you talk to them early and you get their DFM requirements, and you make sure everything's clear. You understand what deliverables they want from you in order to actually get your board into production, cut down a few days of back and forth emailing. Have some type of well-defined times when you will talk to them, just like you would with your remote workers, whether it's a weekly check-in or whether it's, hey, I'm just going to send you a message in the morning, get an update. Communication is really key to doing anything remotely. And if people don't have very clear communication that's also recorded, which is why I like Slack and Skype, because the entire conversation is there, without that email chain or without that Skype message chain or Slack chain or whatever it is, it's really easy for things to get lost kind of in the ether. And it's really easy to let information go in one ear, out the other. And if it wasn't written down, all of a sudden you've completely forgot it. And that goes for everybody involved, whether you're a manager, whether you're working on a design project that carries a lot of very specific design requirements and information. Make sure that you are communicating very clearly and often. Manufacturers, you may not need to talk to them every single day, but make sure you are in communication with them.
Well, great advice, Zach. Thanks so much for joining us today. And thanks for the great article. I was really happy to stumble across it. I'll be sure to share that in the show notes for our listeners. I'll share some of Zach's other articles as well. He knows a lot about signal integrity, EMI. He's kind of a jack of all trades and writes some great content. He just had a neat article in Signal Integrity Journal. I'll throw that in the show notes. So thanks for joining us today, Zach.
Thank you very much.
To our listeners, thanks so much for joining myself and Zach Peterson and learning about how to work better remote and being effective. We hope you're all staying healthy, safe, and well. Remember to keep washing your hands and keep following the rules, and hopefully we'll all be together soon. So take care. Until next time, remember to always stay on track.